Welcome this evening to Cabinet. This is the 12th of March 2020. So I'd like to start by saying that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So I start the proceedings this evening with item one, which is apologies, and we have no apologies, so everyone's here, which is great. Item two, disclosure of pecuniary and personal interests. So I'd like to start by mentioning a personal interest. I'm a member of the Outwards Management Committee in relation to the item under the grants paper, item 10. Which is not directly linked with one of the items, but I think I'll declare that anyway. Anyone else has any declarations? Councillor Pope.
Thank you, Leader. Exactly the same, because I'm also a member of the Outwards Committee.
Thank you very much. Any other declarations? No. So in which case, we'll move on to item three, which is the Leader's announcements. This evening, I have no announcements to make. So that leads to item four, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. So starting with accuracy, is everyone happy with the accuracy of the minutes? And in which case, is everyone willing to propose? Everyone happy to accept? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Those are agreed. So we now move on to item five, which is questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No questions have been submitted, which means we are straight into item six, which is the approach to commercialisation. I'm pleased to say that we have Councillor Rattray here this evening, who's our chair of the Scrutiny Commission. If you'd like to come to the table and get your table all by yourself, which is a new spaced out committee. If you'd like to present the report on behalf of the Scrutiny Commission, and then if there are any issues of clarity, we can quiz you. And otherwise, then we'll get on to discussing the main report. Over to you.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say if I cough, I've not got coronavirus. I've got the early stages of asthma, so that's the coughing, my declaration. So if I take you through the approach to commercialisation and what happened in the Scrutiny Commission. So the Commission was satisfied with the information received by the Chief Executive and support the recommendations set out in the report of the Strategic Director of Corporate Services. During discussion, the Scrutiny Commission questioned what the impact would be on existing officers' time and were informed that although some additional work would be taken up by existing officers, that commercialisation would potentially require an increase in council resources. New officer posts would be funded by profits from investment and so would be self-funded. The Commission asked if the new director post was a permanent position and what the measure of success would be. It was confirmed the post was permanent and that success would be measured by the profit from the investments. The role of scrutiny within the commercialisation process was discussed and the requirement for exemption from calling was raised again by a member. The member has concerns over how each property deal is scrutinised prior to agreement. Not all members of Scrutiny Commission had concerns here and the majority acknowledged the requirement for this and recognised the controls that are being put in place to manage the risk. It was also acknowledged that there was still value in post-evaluation following the decision that could help shape future decision-making. Again, this was not unanimously agreed, but was acknowledged by the majority. The Commission expressed concerns over the reliance on commercial property and asked what other options were being investigated. The Commission were informed there would be further opportunity to develop the Council's commercialisation investments, although acquisition of commercial properties was considered to be the most significant and potentially the most profitable. Overall, the Commission supports the approach to commercialisation as set out in the report and was assured to see the measures in place in relation to risk assessment and risk management. We look forward to seeing the project develop.
Thank you very much. That's very, very clear. Thank you. Are there any points of clarification or points of information that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor, thank you very much in that case. We'll move on to the discussion of the paper. So, looking around, there's Simon Jackson, who's Strategic Director of Corporate Services. Simon, if you want to join us. I guess this new format, we're going to end up with slightly crick necks, but hopefully that's all we get. So, first off, I'm going to say this is obviously something that's been under development for a fair period of time now. It's been through a significant number of stages internally over the last 12 months, both appearing in council a couple of times, cabinet again through development, building up to this point, through audit committee, through scrutiny likewise. So I think hopefully the concept, the principles, and now the detail is well understood by councillors and appreciate where we're going with this particular paper. So opening up to discussion, I know, Councillor Rawlings, you had a point that you wanted to raise, so I'm going to start with you, and then Councillor Taylor, and then we'll move on from there. Thank you.
Thank you. There are a few points, actually, if I may. A couple of typos, which I appreciate is boring, but we may as well clear them up. The first one on page 14, in the mitigation part, we say ongoing finding. I think that probably should be funding, which might need picking up. Next bit, I think, did we approve the capital strategy at the last full council meeting? Because it's still referenced as being to be approved in the background to the report, just under part B. So I think we just need to remove that it's due to be considered at the February 2020 council meeting, because it's been done. A question in relation to members' involvement. At the top of page 21, it says members are presented with the opportunity and briefed on the updated report. This is about the process for when members are made aware of the investment that's being looked into. I think that reads to me as if all members are going to be presented with the particular project that we're looking at investing in, and I don't think that's the intention. So I think that needs clarifying to make it clear that it's just the leader or the deputy leader. So I think that's just been missed out at the top of page 21. Yeah, well, throughout the report it refers leader or deputy leader, but here it just says members, so I think it leaves it open to somebody saying, well, that's all members, not just... just the leader or deputy leader. There's a bit on top of page 20 we just referred to. There's just a typo on monitoring officer in the top paragraph. Then on page 25 in the table for the age and state of repair, we've got a couple of question marks, so I think a bit's been missed out there. So I think we just need to add in what the criteria will be at that point. Let me just see what else there was. The final bit is on page 29 at the bottom. It refers here to the scrutiny committee chair being asked to sign the urgency notice each time. It looks as if they need to sign one for every single transaction, but again, I thought that was just going to be an annual thing where we get a sign off for permission to make these decisions without having to involve the scrutiny committee chair each time. So I just wondered what paragraph 11B on 29 is referring to. Thanks.
That's the wrong one. There again, that's a bit better. So I'm looking at Simon, or unless the chief executive wants to come back on those, and the chief exec maybe. Okay.
Thank you very much, Leader. So in terms of the corrections, we can make those relatively simply and fill in the two question marks, which is a drafting error. In terms of the urgency record, the urgency notice, I'm just going to ask the monitoring officer to comment on that, because there are two elements, as I understand it, but I want to ask him to comment. Is that okay, please, Adrian?
Yeah. Thank you. Leader, this actually refers to the key decision requirements rather than the exemption from calling requirements. So if we are unable to give 5 clear working days notice of a key decision that's going to be made, we then have to go through a process to agree what's called. My mind has gone blank, but there is a special term for it. So we're talking about that here rather than the exemption from calling.
So effectively, it's a secondary item. It's not the same thing. Okay. So the principle is an annual. I'm looking at the chair of scrutiny at the moment, but the principle is an annual, unless for some reason 5 clear working days aren't available, in which case this is a secondary one. No, chief exec's going to explain.
Thank you, leader. So there is an annual exemption from the calling process. but the urgency notice is in relation to not advertising a key decision in the normal procedure, because we'll be making the decision potentially without advertising a key decision within our normal parameters. So we would need a separate sign-off from the Chair of Scrutiny Commission in relation to the urgency of the matter, and that is separate to the exemption from calling. And I can see the monitoring officer nodding, so I think I'm on safe ground with that explanation. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Esco. Councillor Rowland.
So just on that point then, so is that just if we don't give the five clear working days then? So I'd imagine in most transactions we probably will end up needing this to be signed if it's quite an urgent process.
That's correct, yes. I think it'd be highly likely that on most occasions we would need an urgency notice signing.
Councillor Taylor.
Just a couple of other typos. Page 14, bottom of the page under background papers, it says capita. Should that be capital? And page 17.9 under comments column, it says proper, and I think that should be property. And I think Councillor Rowlands took my other one.
Any other first? Any other queries? Are there any commas that we've missed out? Or I have to take great demonstration of the fact that the cabinet reads the papers, which is great. So thank you very much. As far as the content is concerned, I think Councillor Rattray, you covered the key items, which I think were important. There is some hint, I think, in the budget from a couple of days ago. Yesterday, that the government again is talking about possibly reviewing based on a couple of local authorities that have slightly gone overboard on property development, or property purchases rather, which are well known within the sector. But as yet, that's a review, it's not any action, so this is not something that will necessarily affect what we're about to do. I have to say, given where we are, given the fact that we know we have requirements for income, I think my only message would be let's get on with it. So with that, I'd like to propose the items 1 to 5 for the reasons 1 to 5. And if I can ask Councillor Barclay to second.
Happy to second that, Leader.
Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we now move on to item 7. So, Councillor, would you like to come and join us again? So this is our corporate delivery plan 2020-2021. We do have a Scrutiny Commission report. Councillor Rattray is now at the table again, ready to present the report on behalf of the Scrutiny Commission.
Okay, thank you. Obviously, it's quite a large document and there's a lot of detail in it, so it was quite a lengthy discussion that we had in the meeting, therefore it's a slightly longer report. So if I can just give you the feedback now. So following discussion and questions to the Chief Executive, the Improvement and Organisational Development Manager and the Corporate Improvement and Policy Officer, the Commission in the most part supports the recommendations as set out in the report. Subject to its suggested amendments set out in Resolutions 3, 11 and 12, with a further wording change to Resolutions 2 and 9, and an additional Resolution 13, which I'll go through the report. The Commission had a lengthy discussion regarding the Corporate Delivery Plan and fully scrutinised the plan, which I don't feel fully represented in the report. Whilst the report reflects answers given by officers, it does not fully reflect the questions or comments raised by the Scrutiny Commission members. In future, the Commission will be more prescriptive in the meeting with regards to how the items should be minuted. During discussion, the Commission questioned the wording and the strategy in relation to our reliance on reserves. The Chief Executive suggested it was possible to change the wording to reduce our reliance on reserves to fund services and to seek to replenish financial reserves. I would like to see Recommendation 2 amended to reflect this. Tree planting was questioned as to whether the extra trees would be net, taking into consideration trees felled within the borough, for example, at the Outwoods. It was requested that the net gain or loss of trees be reviewed rather than total planted. The Commission expressed serious concerns over lack of action in relation to improving our recycling rates and no plan to increase our target percentage for the next 12 months. This was discussed at two points in the meeting. Seeing no actions in the plan and then no planned ambition to increase our targets from 44% recycling, given that the government target is 50%, seems to indicate we are not doing enough to make improvements here. The lack of increased target here gives the impression that we are complacent as a borough, which I know we are not. We cannot sit back and wait for the government to introduce food waste recycling. There should be other actions, albeit maybe with less impact on our total recycling percentage, but still some impact is better than not at all. It was requested that this be reviewed and amended to reflect our realistic desire to improve, and this should have been Resolution 13. The Commission questioned if working together towards a Charnwood standard for air quality was a possibility, and whether it was a false economy to charge for bulky waste collections and then pay for CCTV to review hotspots, although we were assured that the cameras were already owned by Charnwood. It was raised that we should be looking to measure the impact of our actions rather than whether an action had been completed. The Chief Executive raised the fact that we needed to be mindful of the time and effort to measure success. It was suggested that this was not needed for tried and tested actions, but should be measures for new initiatives. The Commission questioned if any provision for economic downturn due to coronavirus had been made and were assured that the Council were involved in the Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland Prepare Group and that central government were leading. During discussions on public realm improvements, the Commission were very disappointed to see villages within our borough excluded from this opportunity. This is especially disappointing given this was raised when the corporate plan first came before Scrutiny Commission. While the Commission understands that there are currently no set actions that involve our villages, not being included in the plan, even at headline level, would make it almost impossible for them to get any support in this way throughout the next 12 months. We're not saying that large amounts of funding should be spent here, but that we as a council are open to review issues or suggestions of small-scale public realm improvements, especially if this can be supported or part supported by grant funding. Recommendation 9 should state that the headline wording should be changed to include our towns and villages. To be clear, we would like to see this in the current plan, not in any future plan. Members asked for clarity on the town deals projects and suggested that commercial recycling be included to improve uptake on our commercial waste programme. It was also suggested that the Treasury Management Strategy be removed from the plan as it was not needed here. The Commission were in the most part satisfied with the information received by the Chief Executive and his team, subject to the resolutions already discussed, and we were pleased to see a clear plan to deliver our Council's actions throughout the year. I look forward to hearing feedback on the resolutions given by Scrutiny Commission.
Thank you very much. Can I ask whether there are any questions of clarity or information that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Harper-Davis.
Thank you, Leader. In relation, Jonah, to the recycle rate, on average we do about 47.5, which obviously is aspirational. Government target is 50. My phone's going. And we're really looking forward to the panel's recommendations. There's obviously a panel looking at the recycle rates at the moment, how we can improve that. And I know that the officer, as a team, they do as well as they can. But we're very happy to take the suggestions from and moving forward. I'm not sure whether we can actually change that 44%. We do 47.5, so I'm not sure how we can take Scrutiny's recommendations into the report.
So at the moment we're just inside the points of clarification or querying. So when we come to the main debate, we can talk about how we can actually incorporate or look at wording, etc., on some of the tweaks to reflect some of the comments that have been made. But are there any other points of clarity or clarification? So Councillor.
I just want to check what recommendations Councillor Rattray is referring to within the report. Okay, but that was all taken from what you read in the report. Okay, thanks, fine, thank you.
Sorry, right. Councillor Sayre is going to say something, and I'm going to ask Laura. So.
It's just clarifying what bits these relate to within the report. That's what I'm struggling with, how I relate what you've said to the pieces in the report. So I just need a bit of clarity how that's referenced.
Which bits in particular? I mean, I can direct you to it, but...
I mean, before you start, I can see Laura waving at me because I think Laura's going to come in and actually suggest something.
Sorry, I'm not close enough, sorry. Councillor Rattray, I just wanted to be clear. So I'm looking at the recommendations that are set out 1 to 12 on the Scrutiny Commission's report. They're the ones that you're referring that you wish to amend this evening. I wasn't entirely clear exactly what those amendments were. I don't know if the Cabinet understood those, because I don't know whether I noted that Resolution 2 and 9 you wanted to amend, and there was an additional recommendation you wanted to make, number 13, but I haven't got the exact wording of that, I'm afraid. So I don't know whether the Cabinet are clear on what in addition was being asked. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I can come back to you on those if you want. Do you want me to take you through those three points, so the two wording changes and Resolution 13? Yep. So you've got on Resolution 2... So Resolution 2 currently states the wording to be amended to indicate that the Council would aim to replenish financial reserves in the medium to long term. But the wording that was agreed in the meeting was to reduce our reliance on reserves to fund services and to seek to replenish financial reserves.
Can I just stop you at that one point, because there is something that's slightly amiss, because what you've just mentioned doesn't seem to actually tally with item 2 on the on the list. So, okay, which page are you on? Oh, it's the addendum.
So that's Councillor Rattray is referring to the resolved recommendations.
Okay, page 8. Okay, that's a lot clearer in that case. Apologies.
And I think the intention is that if the Cabinet... Thank you, Deirdre. I think the intention is if the Cabinet agreed those resolutions, that they would seek, the Commission would like to see those amended in the body of the report in terms of the delivery plan.
I'm a bit clearer on that now.
I'm sorry, I'm still struggling, so I do apologise. But obviously these resolutions of what the Scrutiny Commission has come up, but I don't see where they relate to the report that we're looking at, the Cabinet report. So I don't know where the cross-references is within that.
That particular point, point 2, refers back to certainly what was on our documentation. It was page 41, but it was under the strategy. So it's after the corporate delivery plan in the document, certainly in the one that we had, I'm sure it's the same. There, it was then set out what the strategy was, and it was under financial.
So the way the minutes are set out is a resolution and it's a summary of the meeting. What it doesn't do necessarily is actually then, and I completely get the points, and I recognise where these points come from, but they aren't cross-referenced in a way that probably a normal legal document would be, because it's a summary of a meeting rather than necessarily an analysis of a paper. However, so I'm gonna in the main meat of the meeting, and I'll mention it here, I think probably the way to actually resolve that is, we have provision obviously within the paper to, between myself and the Chief Exec, to tweak, make revisions as appropriate if possible. What we can discuss is actually within the main meat of the meeting is what's possible or the appetite for Cabinet. Based on the comments that Councillor has made, and then if Scrutiny are happy, then the Chief Exec and myself can actually then absorb some of that within the meat of the paper, because at the moment the way the resolutions are set out, because they don't specifically refer to a paragraph or wording, it probably needs us to be a bit creative about how to apply some of those.
I just make the point that I'm not happy with the report either.
I think it's not necessarily the report. I think the report is a summary of the meeting. Probably what we need to do is actually find a way of actually linking those through. And I think we'll be able to do it, but it might just a bit of creative thinking by the time we've actually finished this item. Chief Exec next.
Thank you. Yeah, I think just to be clear, the report, as you state, is an account of the meeting, and scrutiny has made some resolutions which, using the provision in the body of the Cabinet report at 2 to allow us some delegated ability to make amendments, we, if the Cabinet supports the resolutions made by Scrutiny Commission, we can then use that item to amend the report before Thank publication you. As per recommendation 2 in the Cabinet report. But just to be clear, I think we'll need to have a conversation following the meeting around the nature of the scrutiny report and how they tie back to the actual Cabinet report, particularly if there are clear recommendations that scrutiny want to put to Cabinet for adoption. Thank you.
Councillor Pollard.
Apologies, just so I'm clear now, right? We are, yeah, we're still on clarity. So when we adopt this in the end, assuming we do adopt this in the end, we're going to adopt what's in the recommendation from the main report, and in addition to that, all the recommendations from the scrutiny report as amended. Is that right?
I have one last go. So we have some minutes of the Scrutiny Commission report, which is what you've got in front of you. Those are minutes of the meeting, and they set out the conclusions of the meeting. And there are 12 of those at the moment, but Councillor has mentioned the 13th. Now, what we have within the main report is obviously an ability to actually absorb anything from the discussion, and that's the Cabinet discussion, which will also include consideration of the meeting summary, which is the 12 points plus one. That have been put to us by Scrutiny Commission, and we have the ability to absorb in whatever capacity Cabinet resolves within the main paper itself. Okay? Councillor Taylor.
I think one of the officers would like to come in that might be able to shed some clarity for us.
Okay, so can I just... At this point, so we're still on, to be absolutely sure, this is still on clarity. Mm-hmm. Would you like to join us in that case? Councillor Rowling.
I think, aren't we clear on what's there? Don't we need to move into the next bit and then just go through all the recommendations and then decide whether or not we want those changes to be made by you two under the delegated authority?
My question, if we have moved beyond clarity and we're now into discussing the resolutions and the report, then we'll move into the main report. Unless anyone has the monitoring officer has a point of clarity.
I don't think, in terms of recording things for the minutes, I still don't think Laura is clear on what Councillor Rattray wants to amend in the Scrutiny Commission recommendations, Leader.
Okay, Councillor Rattray, have another go.
Yeah, sure. So recommendation 2 is a wording change to say reduce our reliance on reserves to fund services and to seek to replenish financial reserves.
So just to confirm, that's on page 61.
And on page 61.
And it's under financial stability.
Under financial stability, and it's the first point. It's referencing. Then for resolution 9, it's to change the wording to be towns and villages. So
that's page 50.
On page 50,
and it's the first theme.
And the first theme. And then resolution 13. Should be that the targets for recycling be reviewed to express our realistic desire to improve.
So that is KI4 and KI4A and KI4B.
And it's KI4A and KI4B
on the indicator page.
Page 57.
Quickly then, give a sec.
We're going to need this section on clarity, aren't we? So apologies for adding further... discussion to this, but can I just be clear in regards to page 61 and the resolution number 2 regarding the aim to replenish financial reserves. My recollection is that related to the 5th point down, or not the first point down.
Correct.
And say, Councillor Poland, point of clarity.
It's just I don't know whether this is, I'm doing this technically wrong, and if not, this would be something useful for the future, but I'm struggling, because I can only open one at a time, so I have to look at one and have to go and close it and close it and go back to the one. Is it possible to open both at the same time? And if not, could we look into that?
Okay. Technically, even if it was paper, it would be the same report, all stapled together. Technically, that may be not the issue. The issue is actually possibly the quantity of how the information is presented in the report. We'll come to that in future. I think the issue is probably absolute clarity from scrutiny so that we actually know for sure what the issues are, lock them in a room, don't allow them out unless everything's nailed down, and then once the report is absolutely as you want it, then it's nice and clear as well when it comes to Cabinet, I suspect. So I think in future we'll find a way through this. I'm going to cut off and say no more points of clarity. I think we've got all the clarity. So let's go into the main discussion, if that's okay, Councillor. Thank you very much. I say that's the longest points of clarity information and information session that we've ever had in Cabinet. So always useful to make sure everyone knows what they are doing. So, right, we're now going to be discussing the main points. So, Suzanne, thank you very much. You've already joined us. So Suzanne Kinder, who's our Corporate Improvement and Policy Officer, who I know attended the Scrutiny Commission session, so hopefully is clear about the points that have been raised. So I'm going to open this up for discussion. So clearly we understand this is the product of the corporate strategy. The corporate delivery plan sets out how in the first year we're going to deliver the first of those 4 years that are set out in the corporate strategy. And we've just been going through some of the points in relation to refining, possibly, or tweaking some of the points that we have in this document to reflect some of the aspirations for the council. So with that, I'm going to ask Councillor Rawlings, who's got his hand up, to make a first question.
Well, actually, I was going to suggest, Leader, that perhaps you could take us through each of the resolutions from the Scrutiny Commission, just so that we can then say whether or not we agree broadly with the proposal, so you can then make the changes afterwards.
I got it. So, Councillor Taylor.
And as we work through them, can we know the page number that we're talking about on the main body of the Cabinet report? Because I'm still struggling to cross-reference.
So at this point, I'm actually going to ask the Chief Exec to go through these items, because without a shadow of a doubt, if I go through them, the Chief Exec will then correct me. So I'm going to ask him to actually go through the points.
Thank you, Leader. I'll do my best. I may need to look at some colleagues just to make sure that between us we get the right points in the report. So from recollection, the resolution number 2 relating to the Strategic Direction Document 2020-24 appended report, that is page, I believe, 61, I think, of the main Cabinet report, and relates to the 5th bullet point down. So Scrutiny Commission are asking Cabinet to amend the 5th bullet point under financial stability on page 61 of the main Cabinet report to change it from reduce our reliance on reserves to fund services to include the word and replenish financial reserves in the medium to long term.
Okay, can we find out whether everyone's happy with that? Yeah. Happy with that?
Yes.
No, Councillor Boke, I thought you were saying no, but okay, everyone's happy with that? Next point.
Okay, thank you, Leah. So the third recommendation relating to the corporate delivery plan be amended to reflect the council's tree planting aims were not subject to lottery. That's a straightforward correction in the table which I'll just need to find the correct page. Page 42. Okay. Suzanne, I'm looking to you to help me navigate some of these, if that's okay. That would save time if the Cabinet is happy with that.
If we say broadly we agree with what's there, you can then go ahead and make the actual tweaks without us having to agree the precise wording. I think that's probably a quick way of doing it.
Next point.
Thank you. Okay, so on to point four. The information on the net loss or the net gain of trees in the borough following the fulfilment of the council's aim to plant 30,000 trees by March 2021 be circulated to members where appropriate and including the quarterly performance reporting for transparency.
Okay, so this is basically net rather than additional. This would probably be an estimate rather than anything else because obviously we're not completely aware of every single tree that anyone has taken down across the borough. So this would be an estimate probably of the number of trees that have actually come down. Now obviously in some areas we know pretty well. Councillor Rollins and I managed to plant at least two trees in the outwards and to replace some of those that have taken down. However, even in the outwards, to be frank, it's probably a tonnage that we know the figure for rather than actually a precise number of trees. So this would very much be a very rough estimate, and I suspect probably would be highly inaccurate compared to some of the nets that we probably know.
I think there is potentially an issue about the accuracy of such information, but certainly the view from officers at the meeting was that we would look to provide the best estimate we could and would feed that back. So I think it's difficult to say in confidence that we could add it to our performance information until we can be more confident on the robustness of any estimate related to the net gain. But we appreciated the point made by Scrutiny Commission, which was well made, and I think we need to move towards that once we've assessed the robustness of the evidence relating to net gain.
Okay. Is everyone reasonably happy with that as a point of principle? And we can find suitable words to address within the document. Next point, then.
The point five, that guidance on air quality standards and air pollutant be provided to members at the next meeting of the Commission, which again officers felt entirely comfortable with. Okay, point six, that information on the attendance at crime reduction events be communicated to members where appropriate, including with quarterly performance reporting for transparency, which again I think seems relatively straightforward.
Councillor Taylor.
Just a bit, because quite often we just have stalls in the marketplace where people are dropping in, so I'm not 100% convinced that you can count that unless you're going to have a clicker for everyone that walks past the stall and we interact with. So a lot of it's not direct contact, it's just we're in an area, people are dropping in and out. So we need to be careful how we word that.
Can I suggest, again, we'll look at the wording on that. I think in principle it's not unwelcome as a comment, but we just need to make sure that it's a proper measurable figure. Yep.
Thank you, Leader. So I think, again, just to be clear, some of these are more points of principle and future direction than actual amendments to the document, and I think that was one where the committee would like that information if it was available, but did note that it would be perhaps dependent on the event. Item 7, again, I think a point of principle that future delivery plans more robustly indicate success measures based upon the impact created, which again, and I think it was commented in Councillor Rattray's report that in some areas that's easier to do than others, but the principle, again, was well supported by officers. Okay, if everyone's happy with that one, then item 8, resolution 8 rather, that the head of leisure and culture explore alternative options for the Loughborough market in adverse weather conditions and to increase the profile of the market. Okay, thank you. Item 9, the prospective aim of incorporating public realm improvements to villages of the borough as well as towns be considered for subsequent years of the corporate delivery plan. And, of course, the commentary from Councillor Rattray there was to see that added into the wording. So we may need to just look to the document. So I'll try and find the page if you give me a second. 50. So on page 50 in the box at the bottom, there's a section called Towns, and it will be, let's have a look, second box along, so deliberate improvements. Yeah. So I think, as noted by Councillor Rattray, there are no schemes to actually deliver improvements in the villages currently, but the principle of having an open mind to what might be delivered subject to officer capacity and funding, in principle, again, I don't think there was any objection to the officers to having the word villages included in the wording there. So again, if Cabinet were happy, we could make that alteration.
I think, I mean, I absolutely understand. I just appreciate the pace often that schemes take to actually go through funding cycles, et cetera. Within the first year, it may be almost impossible on the basis that unless it's already in the capital plan or it's already started, delivering it in the space of the same year might be difficult. So I think it's a KPI might be difficult. But I think as an ambition, absolutely see it as an ambition.
Yeah, openness to start a conversation.
Yep. And again, working with parishes and town councils to support schemes as we are. Councillor Poland and then Councillor Spinovich.
Thank you. I'm just thinking in towns and villages, I agree completely with the principle of that. We just change the word towns to borough to improve our public realms in our borough, surely.
Okay, got you. On number 5, where it mentions guidance on air quality standards, we've got an awful lot of that actually on the website. So I'm just curious as to what's being looked for on guidance.
The Chief Executive just said, I missed that one.
Oh, I missed that one, yes. Apologies. Thank you, Councillor Smidowitz. So you're correct. We do have a lot of information on air quality standards on the website and in other places, but I think specifically here the Commission wanted officers to return to the meeting and provide them with some more information specifically in relation to where we are on air quality standards. And there was an aspiration to look at a local standard and going beyond what the national standards were, which we agreed that we would need to look at carefully and weren't in a position currently to adopt.
Councillor Barclay.
Thank you. I definitely think there's a...
Yeah, I think there's definitely an aspiration to do that, but the impact we can have as a borough council on the air quality without major differences in the roads and the number of lorries going through them and all that sort of thing is going to be negligible. You can get the figures, but then what do you actually do about it? I fully appreciate the drive, but I think there's got to be an element of realism of what we can do. I mean, in my town, we have a huge problem with air pollution, but short of closing the town off and not letting any traffic through, there isn't an awful lot more we can do.
Councillor Smidowitz.
Sorry, just to come back on that. In Syston particularly, we monitor, and there is an actual air quality measurement that's there, and it's always just below the standard. But I think a lot of people are getting concerned because of incinerators as well. And that isn't our problem. In a sense, it's the environmental agency. So the chimney will have to be monitored separately there.
Okay.
Thank you, Leader. So if we're happy to note that point that was at Resolution 5, I think we're up to Resolution 10.
Okay.
That the Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces considered the use of dual services to include residential waste and trade waste in the trade waste expansion project. I understood that to relate to the potential for the trade waste service to offer recycling. Yeah, so I think the position there was that officers were currently exploring the best way to expand our trade waste service and increase the amount of customers that we had, and agreed that subject to Matt Bradford as the Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces views on this, that we would look at how feasible it was to add recycling to our trade waste offer. I don't believe that was a point in the report that needs amending, but it was something that they would like officers to look at. Okay, everyone's happy then. So resolution 11, that the development of the Treasury Management Strategy as an action be removed. That action is on page 55 of the Corporate Delivery Plan, and it is in the third column, 1, 2, 3, 4 down. Officers were comfortable with that being removed. It was felt by the Commission that it was a annual event and could well be relegated to the sort of service level document as opposed to the corporate documents. So for Cabinet's views on that.
Everyone happy with that coming up? Councillor Taylor.
I just wondered why it was in there in the first place. And there was obviously a reason why it was in there, so why would we want to remove it?
Thank you. The commentary in the meeting was that it was quite a significant item in that it's a significant document for the council, and also that we wanted to make sure that there was references really across the whole of the council. It's quite easy for the document to become weighted to a lot of the front-facing services, and therefore it was felt that this is a significant action being delivered by sort of the finance team. It was perhaps worthy of inclusion, but it is not a particularly strong feeling from officers in regards to that, so there is no issue if Cabinet did choose to remove it.
It is also quite a binary KPI. It's either done or it's not done. Okay, next item.
Okay, can I just be clear, is that to be removed?
Yep.
Okay, we'll remove that then. Item 12 on the resolution list then, that the committee recommending annual reviews of KI 13, KI 14 and KI 15 be identified and consulted on the decision of the KPIs in the corporate delivery plan be changed from annual to quarterly. This relates to, I believe, the planning performance figures, and the conversation at the Scrutiny Commission followed that a previous committee, possibly a Scrutiny Committee, had asked for those to be dealt with in the way shown currently in the documents, which was a sort of annual performance figure, but it was noted that potentially they could be dealt with on a quarterly basis, as that the officers and the planning service did collect them at that level. And the action arising was for us to check the original committee resolution that had led to this change, and then to feed back, I believe.
So we need to check the resolution and then work out whether what's accurate or not, I guess.
Absolutely. So I think we're comfortable with that as an action. And then the additional resolution that I think has been added, which related to the nature of our approach to recycling targets and the suggestion from Scrutiny Commission that we were not being as ambitious as we could, settling for a 44% target. I think the commentary from officers there was that we'd settled on two targets in the document, one at 50%, which was the sort of stretch target where we'd like to be, and a floor target with 44%, which is obviously the minimum position we'd want to be, and with performance potentially between those two yardsticks. I think the feeling from Scrutiny Commission was that they would like to see the 44% target lifted up somewhat to show a more ambitious approach. Is getting nods, so I think that's correct. And I think that is the nature of the request from Scrutiny Commission.
Can I ask Councillor Harper-Davis to actually mention this, then I'll go to Councillor Poland, on the basis that it's something you mentioned during the clarification.
Well, if you reflect on what we do, we're only 1.5% less than 50% anyway. So whether we make it more of a stretching target towards the 50, which is the government target anyway, I'm a bit between a rock and a hard place as to what my suggestion would be without having that discussion with the officer.
Councillor Poland, followed by Councillor Rawlings.
Thank you, Leader. Again, really, it'd be to clarify if it's realistic for us to get to 50% within the scope of our powers as a council. Because if we set a target at 50% and we can never hit it, all that will happen is that we're constantly in the red every single time. So, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all in favour of stretching targets. But if we're setting ourselves up to fail, it just seems a bit of a pointless exercise, unless, as I said, unless it is something that we can control, that we could potentially get to 50%.
Okay, I understand your point. Councillor Rawlings.
Yeah, similar comment really. I thought the target previously was 50% and it was just constantly a red indicator, and it was established that the only way we're going to achieve that is if we introduce food waste, and at the minute we can't afford to do that basically. So if we keep it at 50, we're just going to keep appearing at scrutiny to explain the same thing each quarter. That's my understanding of it, unless I'm
I'll just quickly clarify this and then hopefully offer a solution. So my understanding is that the 50% is actually the government's target. It's not necessarily our target. What we're doing is actually then setting a Charnwood target. Now, I accept the point from scrutiny, which is it may not necessarily be a particularly ambitious figure. So what I'm going to suggest is that Chief Executive and myself go back and actually talk to the department about maybe coming up with something that's actually a more realistic stretch target rather than actually just a floor, and that way we actually use that as the Charnwood target rather than necessarily using the 44%. And I suspect actually it's the 44% that scrutiny couldn't really agree with, rather than necessarily not having a stretch of that was applicable to Charnwood, because recognising that 50% is the government.
Otherwise, it's not target.
Precisely.
It's a target that's here.
Precisely. Okay. So I understand, I think, where the comments are coming from, and I also understand the points made by Councillor Pearl and Councillor Rawlings, and I think probably what we need to do is go back and actually have a chat with the department. Councillor Rawlings.
An observation. I can't help but feel a chunk of the recommendations there were probably better placed last month with the corporate strategy, because when we're looking at aspirations, I don't think that's what this report's about. This is about delivery, isn't it, and targets. So I can't help but feel that a chunk of the recommendations are more about the aspirations that we've got, which are actually things that would have gone into the corporate strategy in the first place last month, but equally they're perfectly good points, so I don't see the problem taking them on, but I just think that's probably why we were so confused at the start as to where that sits with this document tonight.
Okay, point taken. I think at the moment we're just going to look at the percentage, because this is about delivery. It's about making sure that we've got something that actually represents the performance of the organisation, and making sure that we've actually got the figure that actually represents what we do, regardless of what the government target may be. I think we've gone through all of the points that were covered by scrutiny. The question is, has Cabinet got any other points that they wish to make? Obviously, this is a paper that's been looked at in draft format previously and in formal Cabinet. The question is whether Cabinet has any additional items other than those already discussed in the round. I don't think they have. I think scrutiny's we've been scrutinised. So I'm going to look at Laura at this point, just to make sure that we are going back to the point of clarity. Are we happy that all the points are clear?
I noted the things that Cabinet agreed with and the recycling action to be taken. So I'm assuming that those will be incorporated in your second recommendation on the main Cabinet report for those amendments we made under that delegated authority. So from my point of view, I'm clear, Leader.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Good grief. We have a resolution. Okay, so I'm going to make a recommendation, which is recommendations 1 and 2. 2, as Laura has just outlined, includes any of the amendments or tweaks, including the final one, which is about an action for the Chief Exec and myself to agree some suitable wording on the percentage as well. For the reasons 1 and 2, can I ask Councillor Taylor to second?
Thank you, Leader. Can I just thank the Chief Exec for his explanation? And it was difficult to go through, but I think I fully understand now, and I hope everyone else does, so I'm happy to second.
Thank goodness for that. Right. Do we see all of those in favour? All of those in favour. Fantastic. We're done. Good. Thank you. That was a good session. Thank you very much, Susan. Susan, I don't think you actually even said anything. So there you go. It was an experience, wasn't it? It was an experience. So we're now on to item 8, which is the Housing Capital Programme for 2020 and 2021. We also have a scrutiny paper for this one. So, Councillor Rattray, if you want to come to the table. So I'm going to start by asking you to make the scrutiny report, or give the scrutiny report, and then there'll be any chances for clarity or further information requests before we get into the meat of the discussion.
Hi, everyone. So it's a much shorter report this time, you'll be pleased to hear. So the Housing Capital Programme. So the Commission was pleased with the information received by the lead member and lead officer and support the recommendations set out in the report of the Head of Landlord Services. A short discussion was held and questions were raised over the level of risk quoted in the report. The member suggested that as the contractor would have signed a contract, that it was highly unlikely that the work would not be completed or a financial penalty would be incurred. The Commission was also informed that the performance of the main capital contractor was measured on satisfaction and time taken inside the property, amongst other aspects, and liquidated damages had been applied for where the time in property had been exceeded. Ultimately, the Council could decide not to place work with a contractor. The energy ratings of a housing stock were queried and whether we had the information so that we could measure improvements to our carbon footprint. The Commission were informed that the Council held energy ratings of our current housing stocks, including new properties and voids, and this could be used as a baseline to measure improvements. Overall, the Commission was satisfied with the report and supports the recommendations set out in the report of the Head of Landlord Services.
Thank you very much. That was very clear for me. Any points of clarity or further information that they wish to ask? No. Fantastic. Can I just say thank you very much to Scrutiny for your members on the committee. As you can demonstrate from this evening, always a great opportunity to actually input into Cabinet decisions and have an impact. So thank you very much. Well worth it. Thank you. So I'm going to ask now Peter Oliver to come to the table. Peter is our Head of Landlord Services. And then I'm going to ask Councillor Harper-Davis to open up with any questions or a short statement.
Thank you, Leader. So every year we bring this report to Cabinet, and it sets out the investment programme of the year ahead, which is shaped to reflect the priorities outlined in the HRA business plan and those identified in consultation with the Housing Management Advisory Board. I'm happy to take any questions, and Peter's joining us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mercer, I think you have a question.
Thank you. Housing is my responsibility, but this is not my responsibility. I have expressed a number of... I've expressed concern before over the cost of the fire doors, which is £1 million, and I've been told that we have no choice in that. And I had two questions. So the first question is, do people who've bought their own flat, do they have to have these doors installed as well?
Potentially, each door is subject to a risk assessment, which is conducted in line with government guidance. So it depends on the type of door that's been installed and the location in which it's installed as well.
So does that mean we have to do a consultation process with them over this programme?
We are sending out a letter to leaseholders to request that they provide us with the compliance documentation relating to their fire door, in order for us to make a decision as to what advice we would then provide to them.
And the final question is, the actual home standard, which we've got an abbreviated version of it, it actually says we should also seek value for money in everything that we do. Now, I think I'm right in saying that we're paying something like £1,600 for each of these doors, and most councils are having to put these doors in. But a little bit of searching reveals that some councils are paying an awful lot less than we are for these doors. And one I just stumbled across was Hackney is paying £1,200 per door. Harrow is only paying £500 per door. So would it make sense, consistent with conforming to the home standard of looking for value for money, before we actually go ahead with this, work out why other councils replacing a similar number of doors are paying so much less for their doors?
I think we'd need to look at the type of door that they're installing to make sure that we're comparing like for like in the first instance. And yes, certainly we can contact the other councils that you've mentioned to see how they've obtained the pricing for theirs.
Okay, any further questions? Nope, it's a very clear report, so thank you very much for that. Councillor Harper-Davis, can I ask you to make a proposal?
Yes, Leader, thank you. Then I ask Cabinet to approve recommendation that the Housing Capital Programme 2021 amounting to £7,339,100, detailed in Appendix 1, be approved and the capital plan be amended to reflect this. And the reasons are to improve the Council's housing stock in line with Charnwood Standard, thus delivering the priority set out in our Housing Revenue Account, HRA, business plan, which are approved by Cabinet September 2014. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Harper-Davis. Councillor Mercer, can I ask you to second?
Having self-evidently read the report, I'm happy to second it.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? There's all of those in favour. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Peter, as well. So we now move on to item 9, which is the local development scheme. So if I could invite Richard Bennett, our head of planning and regeneration, to the table to assist with the report. And as soon as he's taken his spot, I will start. So the local development scheme is a statutory requirement that we have to bring forward to set out how we're going to bring forward our local plan and also the timescales involved. It's a relatively straightforward document, which hopefully is reasonably clear to everyone. Are there any other particular questions or points of information that anyone wishes to address to Richard? There aren't. So, Richard, are there any points that I've missed out? Because actually one of the things that I was going to raise, obviously today there has been by the Secretary of State, there's been a statement in the House of Commons relating to the potential white paper on planning that's going to come forward. And you and I have earlier today discussed some of the key points within that. One of the items that's pertinent to this paper this evening is obviously the requirement to actually have a local plan in place by 2023. And this plan this evening, the scheme, sets out the fact that we can achieve that and we are planning to achieve that. So there's a tick in the box. Are there any other points that you think are pertinent?
Thank you, Leader. You're absolutely right. The government has announced proposals to reform the planning system and the requirement to have a plan in place by the date you mentioned. I think it also mentions that the planning system could be quite deeply reviewed. And so, obviously, we're the devil's in the detail of these announcements, of course, and we are looking carefully, or will be looking carefully, to see whether those proposals affect the fundamental nature of what a local plan is. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, Leader. But at the moment, all things being equal, the proposals in the report before you tonight set out a timetable for the production of that plan to meet that government objective. So it's there for members to consider tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've got two questions. Councillor Smidovich, followed by Councillor Taylor.
Yes, thank you. It was really on the number 10, supplementary planning documents. I appreciate this is just a time frame that we're approving tonight, but will those supplementary planning... when will those supplementary planning documents be ready for? Because it talks about working on a three-year period. So are we waiting for 3 years, or is there something in place now? Thank you, Richard.
Through you, Leader. The obligation on the Council would be to produce that document within the three-year period, so that's going through its various different statutory stages to produce it.
Councillor Taylor, followed by Councillor Poland.
Mine was a similar question, Leader. Are we on target to hit those deadlines, or have we got any risk of any slippage? And if there is slippage, what happens then?
Thank you. Through you, Leader. The local development scheme sets out the programme for the next 3 years based on what we know now. We do know that things happen throughout the year beyond our control. For example, we've heard about planning reforms this evening, but there are other things that can happen. We rely on our partners to assist on evidencing the local plan, so transport modelling at the County Council and our colleagues in the Education Authority to provide help and advice and building the evidence base for the plan. But as we stand at the moment, the milestones that we've got in this plan are our best estimate of what we need to do, the resources we require, and the programme to bring forward that that local plan by the date, the milestone date for adoption in January 2022.
Councillor Pollard.
Thank you. Just a question on that deadline of 2023. I think that you said it was 2020, whatever it is. We obviously have a local plan already. Did the government mean a new local plan, or is our existing local plan fine because that runs to like 2028?
If only it was that simple, Richard. So the question, actually, I'll help you with the answer as well. So the question was about, we have a current local plan. The issue is actually it runs out after a period, because actually the government requires that you have a sort of 5 years review. So I'm going to pass over to Richard on this, but the point is the reason why we're going through a local plan process now is because otherwise the other one will run out. In fact, there will be a bit of a gap between the existing one technically running out and the new one coming into place.
Thank you, Leader, for that clarification. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Current planning guidance, national planning guidance, is that you should review your plan within 3 to 5 years of its adoption. So members will recall our core strategy was adopted in November 2015. So that would suggest that our core strategy would be out of date by November 2020. So given the timescales we've got in the local development scheme for our new local plan to come forward, there is a gap between our core strategy being considered out of date and the new plan coming on stream. So as members may recall, local plans as they come forward through the statutory process start to attract weight once they've been submitted to the Secretary of State for examination. Minimal weight, but you can weigh in the balance when making plan decisions. And as it goes forward in time, subject to there being no objections to the policies in the plan, it will gather more and more weight until the point it's adopted in January 2022. So, you know, there is going to be a period of, if you like, fuzziness between the old plan coming out and the new plan coming in, where it's going to be important that we are keeping track of our, or more important that we keep track of our housing supply, maintaining a five-year supply and those kind of things to ensure that we can maintain control as far as we can on where development goes in the borough as we go forward.
I think with the microphones on, it's probably okay, as long as everyone else can hear. So Councillor Taylor wants another point before she...
Just following on from that as well, what's the risk to us? Are we going to start getting planning developments where we don't want them and ad hoc things if we don't get this in place in time?
Through you, Leader, I think it's fair to say there is some risk of rogue applications coming in at the point where, you know, certainly if we don't have a five-year supply you know, an instance where a plan is out of date, then yeah, the council is exposed. But this is why we're still maintaining an accelerated plan preparation programme, and the local plan team being guided by the Local Development Framework Board, which is in turn overseen by the Growth and Regeneration Programme Board, means that there's plenty of oversight over what's going on and a very strong oversight over the risks, the risk register that there is for the project. So we could try and minimise the, you know, that exposure that the council might have.
I think the truth is, it is an extraordinarily complex procedure, trying to juggle local needs, local partners, regional requirements, national legislation, getting cooperation with a whole host of everything from local authorities, other local authorities, making sure that we have legal agreements in place for duty to cooperate. We obviously have developers that we're trying to coerce into developing out existing sites. We have a five-year land supply, which we're trying to maintain. And we have national government throwing in constant planning reform and reviews. All of those things have to be mastered and navigated by our planning team, trying to obviously deal with the requirements of local planning on top of that, with the permissions and all the paraphernalia of getting stuff through plans committee, etc. It is, I mean, I've said this before, it is like playing chess in 3D with about 15 different partners that you're playing against, and the whole time trying to work out how every single time that everyone moves their piece, the objective is still to actually win. And you're trying to actually move through an ever-changing landscape, still trying to work out how you're going to get through it. It is incredibly complex, and it's not surprising sometimes that things move around a bit. But we still maintain a plan to get a plan. Any other points anyone wants to raise? Otherwise, I'm going to make a recommendation, if that's okay. So I'm going to make a recommendation 1 to 3 for reasons 1 to 3. And can I please ask Councillor Smidovich to second?
Yes, I'm happy to second it and make the comment that I think our local plan officers have done a particularly good job. I do remember 2015 when the last one was going through and some of the difficulties that we were having in speculative development. So anything that stalls anything like that, I think, has to be seconded, and delighted to do it.
Can I see all of those in favour? All of those in favour. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Richard. So we're now on to item 10, which is the Charnwood Grants Round for 2019-20. Can I invite Julia Robinson? There you go, sitting next to the heater. Head of our neighbourhood services to come to the table. And can I ask Councillor Taylor, who's the lead member, to make a short statement before we go to any questions?
Thank you, Leader. There's 5 community development engagement grants recommended for approval, 2 community development and engagement grants are deferred, and 3 community development engagement grants are declined. This round we've seen a variety of applications, including a singing cafe, the African Caribbean Club, the reuse office chair project, and a youth club. And this will commit all of the 2019-20 community development and engagement grants budget. 1 community facility grant application has been declined, with the balance remaining of that after round 4 for 19-20 of £61,530. And there's still an outstanding environment grants balance of £5,268, which will be carried forward till 2020-21. And all the funding for the Loughborough Community Grants now has now been allocated for 19-20.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask Julie, or any points that anyone wishes to make? I'm going to grab this at one point. So there are two points which I have to say very, very pleased to see. Obviously, I've made my declaration in relation to the Outwards Management Committee, but I do know that the Into the Outwards Sculpture Trail has been incredibly well supported. Last year in particular, I think this year it's actually been extended time-wise to make sure that even more people have access to the Outwards. It is an extraordinary trail that's created in an extraordinary location. So very, very good to see that. And secondly, also, whilst not in my area, I do know the Grange Park Centre it is one of our newest community centres in Loughborough. The team behind that have worked incredibly hard over a number of years to make it a success. And I think anything that we can do to support the ARC will be very, very welcomed by them and also residents in Grange Park who use it. So very, very pleased to see those 2 items. Any other points anyone wishes to make? Otherwise, I'm going to go back to Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to put forward the recommendations 1 to 5 on pages 92 and 93 for the reasons 1 to 5 on page 93.
Councillor Rawlings.
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to second this item.
That's great. Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much, Julie, as well. Apologies that you didn't get to say anything. So we're now on to item 11, which is our annual procurement plan. So there we go. We have Simon Jackson, who's going to help with any questions. So Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to make a short statement before we open up for discussion?
This is the usual plan of contracts that we're letting all heads of service have been consulted, and the known contracts to date are listed in the appendix, and the way that with the methodology we use to let the contracts is also outlined between 75,000 to 500,000, and anything over that comes to Cabinet. We will get updates throughout the year, but it is a factual report as presented. As you can see, most of the contracts are for information services, landlord services and neighbourhood services.
Thank you very much. Any points of clarification that anyone wishes to raise, or any points that they wish to raise on this report? Absolutely none. In that case, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to make a point?
So I make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 123 for the reasons 1 and 2 to allow contracts of the Council to be let in accordance with the contract procedure rules.
Councillor Barclay.
I'd like to second that, Leader, please.
Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Right, we now move on to our penultimate item, item 12, which is Southfield Security Contract. So, Simon, you're going to be helping us with any questions if needed. So, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to introduce this item?
So, this is the security contract where we provide security offices in the main foyer in Charnwood for the Department of Works and Pension, also to protect our staff. They also are responsible for keyholding and call-out services to Woodgate Chambers, the Ark and the Oak business centres. We have to go out under ODU contract procedures, which still apply despite the fact that we've come out of the European Union, because it is over 500,000. The majority, it is over a four-year period, that is. The majority of the cost is actually reimbursed by Department of Works and Pensions, who we invoice annually for £125,000. It's necessary, and the procedures we've got to go through are necessary. There's nothing else to say.
Okay. Councillor Mercer, I think you have a question.
I do have a question. I also think it's appropriate to say that I, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, have always been very impressed with our security guards. They've always recognised us, always been very friendly, even though they never did manage to discover which councillors accidentally set off the burglar alarm, despite an intense investigation. Although I have my suspicion. I wanted to ask, though, do the police actually make a contribution to this cost, given that they benefit from this service?
I'm not absolutely 100% sure, but I'm pretty certain the answer is no. So the security cards were introduced in line with the introduction of DWP prior to that, and I, from memory, I believe the police were already in situ. We had a period where there were no security guards in place, so I'm pretty sure the answer is no.
Any further questions for anyone? I think I concur that the security team actually do a very, very good job, particularly at the moment, trying to encourage people to use hand sanitizer as they walk through. It's still, talking to one of our guards yesterday, absolutely stunned at the fact that some people, a very, very small number of people, seem to be extraordinarily aggressive to even inanimate objects like sanitizers on walls. So, but there you go. So they do a very, very good job, sometimes in extraordinarily difficult situations, sometimes under threat of physical violence themselves. Always good to see that this item coming through, albeit it's actually on a procurement basis rather than actually for any other reason. Councillor Harper-Davis, you want to make a quick note?
Can we feed that back to them, please?
I will ask that the Chief Exec does it in person.
Absolutely fine.
He will be doing it in the morning. There you go. So in which case, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to make a proposal?
Yep. I make the recommendations as outlined on page 133 for the reason outlined on page 133.
Councillor Harper-Davis.
Yes, Leader, thank you. I'd like to second the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now on to the final item of this evening, which is item 13, which is the Council of Constitution Annual Review. So I can see Karen Woodson, our Democratic Services Manager, who's taken a place at the back. And I'm going to ask Councillor Poland to briefly outline any of the key issues that he wishes to raise before we open up.
Thank you, Leader. So a lot of this is procedural, and I'll brief members earlier on this. Essentially, it covers the areas of member conduct appeal, a parish representation on the member conduct committee, supplementary questions at full council, and the removal of statements and making it 1 minute only for questions and not statements. Planning in a number of areas, Loughborough Area Committee, tweaks to thresholds for financial regulations, reorganisation of services and giving sort of what officers can do on their own as opposed to what has to come to us in terms of number of staff affected. And that's essentially it. There have been comments made today in regards to the Member Conduct Committee, so to just sort of expand on that for a moment. It was asked by a number of parish clerks if one of the three parish representatives could be a clerk. We discussed that at the subcommittee that we had when we looked at the changes, and it was felt at the time by members that this was a member committee, and if we said yes to having a clerk, why not yes to having an officer from Charnwood? So that was the reason we went with members only. We have had a comment from a clerk today, I'm not sure where from, but a clerk today, making the point that the committee also looks at staffing issues, which would affect parish clerks. However, Karen has already gone back to them today, and certainly my view has not changed in that regard from the point we made before, that this is a member conduct for members. Obviously, welcome any questions.
Thank you very much for that. So one of the points I'd probably start by sort of asking, I think, Karen in particular. So some of the changes that we're looking at, I think, are very straightforward changes. A couple, I think Councillor Poland touched on, which will probably be raised by some councillors in relation to possibly less removing the statement from the follow-on supplementary question, because I think the statement, I think, is very unique to Charnwood, and every other authority just refers to a supplementary question. But the point also about the time limits. I just really wanted to ask you, just from your experience, other authorities, whether this is actually moving us into line with what other authorities currently do. In other words, is this good practice if any particular councillor raises it as an issue?
Thank you. So to clarify that I've undertaken extensive research regarding questions on notice and statements, and I've also got a lot of experience being through my professional body, and I can confirm that Charnwood has been quite generous in giving 2 minutes at council meetings for supplementary questions and statements, and I did find in the research that a number of councils actually only allow 1 minute only for a supplementary question and do not allow statements. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's very clear. Any other points anyone wishes to raise? Okay. Before I go back to Councillor Poland, can I say there's a particularly attractive looking change to the planning procedures, which I know Councillor Poland is particularly keen on seeing. But otherwise, if I can ask you to make a recommendation.
Thank you, Leader. I think that's the best part of the whole report. The recommendation on page 136 for the reason on 136.
Councillor Burger.
Yes, I agree with the planning recommendation, and I'm happy to second this report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? over. That's everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone this evening, particularly Councillor Gerard, who joined us this evening, and to all officers who supported Cabinet this evening. Very grateful for your time, and good night.